Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Too many Tic Tacs in the town.
That's crushed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Where the beat go? Oh, ain't that something? Drums came in, you ain't see that coming. Hands on my head, can't tell me nothing. Got a taste of the fame, it'll pump my stomach. Throw it back up like I don't want it. Wipe my face, clean off my vomit. OCD trying to push my buttons, I said don't touch it. Now y'all done it. I can be critical, never typical. Intricate with every syllable, I'm a criminal. Intimate but never political, pretty
visible. Oh, welcome to Pucklandia 115. I mean Golflandia 115 on the Podcast One Sports Network, the premier podcast sports network in the world. And you can listen to Pucklandia, Golflandia exclusively on podcastonesports.com, Podcast One app, and iTunes Podcasts, or on Twitter. If you're on there, I suggest you be on there. Follow me at Wiley77, at Golflandia, or my burner account, at EstablishTheForecheck88. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Listen to all the thousands of you who download this podcast, which I see every week. Just review the podcast. This is free content for your ears. You're obviously downloading and listening to it. Just review it. Nothing helps me more than positive reviews of this podcast. Period. Also, from Podcast One, as always, a big thank you for listening to the show. This is from Podcast One. We'd like to ask a small but very important favor of you. It'll only take a few minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time. Hashtag literally. We need you to complete a short survey because the information you can give us helps make things better for the show and you as a listener. Just go to podcastone.com/survey and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com, and two grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. There you go. Our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling out the survey will really help to cater to the needs of you as a listener. Podcastone.com/survey. Thank you for being a dedicated listener. Also, more importantly, 5 stars on this podcast. Now, this week, the brandless tournament week in golf. Houston Open, Italian Open. No brands! None! What am I going to draw on my weekly sheet on Twitter if you follow me, where I draw the logos of each tournament? Last week, Shriners. Last week, Spanish Open, Open d'España. I'll just draw Houston. There you go. I'll draw Houston skyline, and I'll draw fucking Italy. Why not? Sponsor free. I think it's great, actually. Let's do this. Saul Goodman DFS put out randomly last week a tweet about a fake company that we've started, including me. He included me in the tweet, called Establish the Forecheck for NHL. Most of you know that Saul is very big into NHL DFS. And by the way, outside of golf fantasy sports on DraftKings, NHL is incredible. Incredible. I think it is the standard for the effort you put in, that you cannot fluke your way to a win. Honestly. plus when a goal is scored or an assist or multiple shots on goals, you feel so rewarded. I cannot pick a goalie to save my life, but I dominated Saul in 4 matches, 3-1. And he mocked me. He mocked me. He said I couldn't beat him. I have watched 60,000 games of hockey in my life, either attending, being part of, or watching on TV. And I finally put it to good use. And I realize now that DraftKings Fantasy NHL is some of the best on earth. I used to fall asleep when I was a kid in the 80s to tell you my dedication to hockey. I was a Leafs fan. Obviously, I'm a Leafs fan for my whole life. I used to fall asleep in my Sony Walkman, my yellow Sony Walkman in the 80s to Rick Jeanneret and the Buffalo Sabres games. Pre-game show, game, post-game show to Rick Jeanneret. I hated the Sabres, but that's how much I loved hockey. Finally putting it to good use. Except for Jack Eichel tonight, who had 0 points. Buffalo Sabres. Some of Rick Jeanneret's calls for LaFontaine are the greatest you'll ever get in hockey. And I'm sorry, Saul, that you stacked the New Jersey Devils against me 1-on-1. And I beat you again. Golf. That's what this podcast is about. Golf. Course recap for the Shriners last week. Listen, it's minus 21 to minus 25. When, like I said on the podcast last week, when there's no wind, this course does not have a lot of defense. And it's going to be a birdie show. And what makes birdies? Putting. Putting. And you cannot predict putting. You know that some of the good putters on tour, but you never know when they're going to have it. And you never know when the players who don't putt well, who are going to bring it. You just don't. Especially on the PGA Tour, when the talent is so superior. And who brought it? Kevin Na. Historically good scrambler, historically good putter, great long iron player. Completely misrepresented player on the PGA Tour. He is a fabulous person. Fabulous personality, fabulous human. And the slow play narrative, fine. It's his brand. He owns it. He owns it. He's walking in his putts now. I think he can make a fortune just off this entire character. I love Kevin Na. How can you not love Kevin Na at that post-round interview? I feel bad for the Cantlay guys because I know a lot of you had Cantlay with Rom in Spain. And Cantlay is a flawless player. I mean, he's got everything. Missing that putt on 18. And by the way, 18 at the Shriners at Summerlin, which you wouldn't expect, has created so much drama over the last few years. It's a must-see event. The field was great, by the way. Half of them, what, drunk playing craps at the Aria? Clearly. Kepka just tagged in his brother Chase and said, you go out and win this. And the freaking Chase was, what, 2 strokes off the lead in the weekend? While Brooks was passed out at the Rhino? I didn't say that happened. That was just words. But great tournament. But putting, I mean, you just, here's what bothers me about myself is that I forget that I believe that Cabrera Bello, who is a remarkably good ball striker, could actually beat Rom in scoring at the Spanish Open, the Open de España. It all comes down to that. And Rifo said it this week. I printed this out, and I forgot to take it off the printer, and it's way over there. and I have to look it up now because I didn't prep for this properly. I was going to read his tweet. Stand by. But Rifo said, with Nas win, Rifo18, Square Life on Twitter. Great content. With Nas win, can we finally conclude that strokes gained tee to green is overrated and putting is pretty much all that matters? Probably. I mean, listen. The shot from tee to fairway, the shot from fairway to green, the putt of 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet that most guys miss is worth the same amount. If you can find a guy on 4 days that can consistently make putts within 10 feet for par, for birdie, there is your winner. That's it. It's so critical on everything from scoring. Look at the ones that Cabrera Bayo missed in Spain. Arnaus missed Spain. You just know the guys that consist. That's why the European Tour guys are on the European Tour. They're phenomenal players. Their limitation for the leap across the ocean to the U.S. for the PGA is short game. They can't putt. Like these guys. They can't putt. I mean, look at the world top five. Justin Thomas? My God. Scrambling and putting? Rahm? Rose? DJ? Good DJ, by the way. I miss good DJ. But good DJ? Wedge play? It's around the greens. It's short game. It's scoring. It's what they do best. You know when they're lying 45 feet in the rough on their approach on a par four. You know the guys are going to get down in two or sometimes one. And that's what makes them the best. That's everything. That's scoring. And I don't know why I forget that sometimes. Look at Sergio. Sergio, I posted a video of this on my Twitter account. Sergio on a hole, I don't know what hole it was. It was on Saturday. He was 15 feet laying two on a par five for eagle. 15 feet. He missed his third shot by 11 feet. Less than that. Then missed his follow-up putt. Par. I said on Twitter, if Sergio could hit those putts, he'd won 80 tournaments by now. He's one of the most underrated ball strikers in world history. But all of the world top Tiger, Xander, Cantlay, Rose, Rahm, Brooks, JT. I mean, all guys you trust putting. Rory just hits it to 2 feet. So he makes those. This week, though, is the Houston Open. I almost said Shell. And the Houston Open, it's in the fall swing now. Typically, has not been in the fall swing. It's been before the Masters. But Tim Frank DM'd me today at Fantasy Golf Man, and he said, "Are the people at Shell geniuses for sponsoring the Houston Open for years? Because synonymous with the event." Becoming synonymous with the event and then pulling the sponsorship. He said, I'm still calling it Shell or the Shell Houston Open. I agree. I totally agree. I cannot not say the Houston Open without saying Shell. But still, after 2 years now, I think it doesn't have a lead sponsor. It's still the Houston Open. But Shell is still getting collateral benefits. But that's the question, though. I mean, and this is for, I guess, the future of golf in multiple events. And I tried to rack my brain about this whole question. As how does the Houston Open not get a lead sponsor? Well, if you look at the field, it's from a PGA. I mean, listen, all these golfers are world class, but from a comparative apples to apples on a PGA Tour level, it's one of your worst. And so you have to ask. I'm looking at this from a Barbasol perspective, and knowing the money they put into an event here in Lexington, Kentucky, for the Barbasol event, which is an opposite field to the British Open. I can only imagine the resources it takes to pull off an event in Houston. Houston. No wonder it's difficult to get someone to underwrite that. But what is a sponsor looking for and getting? What is a brand looking for and getting out of a PGA tournament? Obviously, the ones most flush with cash, who can spend $1 or $2 or $3 million without a blink of an eye, are looking for just saturation of the marketplace and your eyeballs, and making sure that when you choose your gas, that 100,000 people, because they saw the Shell Houston Open, will choose Shell over BP. And maybe they get lift from that. But does that work in 2019? And are there the sponsors who think that way and who have that cash and marketing expense to do that? What am I getting out of this as a sponsor? And I think from a golf standpoint, you have to factor, am I a sponsor of a product that is experiential? I think that, like, if you have a product, think of any product, right? It's either utility, experiential, or both. Utility being a washer or a bolt that you buy at Lowe's. Experiential being what? Disney rides. Like Schmocky Boy on Twitter, who went on the mission to Mars and puked. His whole family did. By the way, I'll never go to Disney and ride Mission to Mars ever. But it's a balance between those two things. And I think for golf, I think largely it is a brand of either a combination experiential, utility, or experiential. Look at what success there has been for car brands sponsoring PGA or European Tour tournaments, BMW. Lexus in here in Kentucky. Cadillac. Why? Or Genesis. Or as I say, Gemini. Open at Riviera. Why? Well, What are the players driving all week? What are the volunteers driving VIPs in all week? What are the caddies driving all week? What are people driving media in all week? The new cars. So for like a Cadillac, for instance, who does a phenomenal job with their new advertising campaign, by the way, these cars look good. What is the first thing they want to do? They want to expose a high-profile, high-income community to this new product line. Get them driving in them. Get them exposed to them. Get high-profile players as influencers who will take photos in them and talk about them. It is fantastic marketing for experiential brands. Probably the best for cars, because the players caddies, fans, VIP, media are actually using them. But for something like Shell, it's gas, right? I mean, not a lot of experiential in gas. Unless you're huffing it, which I've never done. So maybe Shell has made the determination that I don't know if the PGA Tour is the best launch point for my brand. That makes sense. I think touch and feel things like cars make perfect sense for PGA Tour sponsorship. And maybe it's in the moving forward for a Shell Houston Open, which is a huge check and a huge responsibility and liability potentially for a company. Maybe it's a shared ownership of it. I don't know. But being in the fall swing now, a very weak field, it's unfortunate because the Houston Open was always so big that they can't find an anchor primary sponsor. And I don't have any data behind it. I'm just, you know, using my own knowledge and history to make an assessment of this. I think the best brands to sponsor the PGA Tour are ones in which the fans can experience, because you have thousands of people, potentially hundreds of thousands of people there to try out your product. Not only that, but like Korn Ferry, for instance, I like the web.com tour, synonymous with that tour. Now it's the Korn Ferry. I mean, even in a few months, Korn Ferry has become synonymous with that tour. I mean, all of us know more about Korn Ferry than we ever did. Now, if you're to ask me what Korn Ferry does, I have no idea. But I know their name. But it all falls on to whether the leadership of a company, CEO, what have you, determines whether or not writing a $1-5 million check to a PGA tournament is a good lift proposition for the brand. It's a great question. And I think a lot of shared equity in the future between other sponsors. But I think it does an amazing job for BMW when they do European Tour and they do the playoffs here. FedEx, same thing. Dean and DeLuca, when they had a tournament. Sadly, they're gone now. Waste Management, man. Who doesn't like to get their hands in a dumpster? Speaking of CEO, let's rate last week's CEO time. And thank you to, what was his name? Matt Hawley, for sending me the video of the tournament last week, the CEO time. Last week was the Shriners. The president of the Shriners got on camera on Golf Channel NBC and did his 3-minute spiel. And let me tell you, my grandfather, Eric Wiley, was a Shriner. I saw his obituary. I went through his obituary over the weekend, as I do periodically. And I recall that in his photo, in his obituary, he was wearing his Shriners hat. He was a proud Shriner. And so I was exposed to the Shriners early on as a kid. This president of the Shriners was phenomenal. It was like any person's uncle who just started telling you about his life at the Thanksgiving dinner table. He didn't know he was being broadcast to 500,000 people around the world. He just started talking, and he made sense, and he was clear, and he was passionate, and he looked good. I give him an 8.5. I could give him a 9, but I just feel like the 9s and then 10s for the CEO time on NBC on the broadcast for CEO time is reserved for someone who I believe can take Johnny Miller's spot. And I know they're out there. The hat is interesting for Shriners. I will say that. And knowing my grandfather, who was a stalwart of a man, a very grisly, giant Irish immigrant of a human being, ex-policeman, for him to wear the fez, it must have been meaningful to him. Because he wasn't that, he wasn't costume guy at all. So, kudos to Shriners for all they do. And kudos to that guy, president of the organization, for nailing it on the NBC broadcast. 8.5. He's a new clubhouse leader. By the way, if you do some research behind the Shriners, I know this has gone long, but I've had fun, and I don't care. If you do some research behind the Shriners and the Fez, evidently back in 1872, these were Freemasons who wanted to have an organization fraternity that just had fun. And I guess one of the founders had partied with someone in Morocco and said, let's just wear fezes. And that's how it all started. As I thought it should have. Just a bunch of drunk guys saying, let's party with fezes. Fast forward 150 years, they're really helping kids out. All right, let's talk to Ryan. All right, do you like to bet online? Well, NFL, college football, and now the MLB playoffs are all heating up with games that you're not going to want to miss out on. So you can visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for free and make an account, and be sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Let's talk NFL next week. Eagles-Vikings. Eagles. Seahawks at Browns. Browns suck. Seahawks. Houston at KC. KC. 49ers at Rams. 49ers. Lions at Packers. Packers all day. Bengals at anyone. Anyone. They're 0-5. Are you surprised? Are you surprised? If 0-16 is the high watermark for the Cincinnati Bengals, what a sad state of affairs for this Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati region or Ohio. The thing is, Ryan's delusional, Barif, about his Cleveland fandom, in that he was rope-a-doped for the first few games, which I'd been for the last 20 years with the Bengals, that they'd actually win the Super Bowl. You'll never, ever, never. I will be a tomato plant buried in the soil before anything from Ohio wins the Super Bowl. BetOnline.ag. That wasn't part of their content here. They did not say I should be buried in the soil as a tomato plant, but I digress. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Cash take you on the round. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all. All right, Ryan. The Shell Houston Open. Tim Frank, as I said in the opening, made a very good DM to me about the Houston Open. Can we ever not call it the Shell Houston Open? Is Shell the most genius brand in the world, knowing that you can never disconnect that brand with it? Ever. I mean, what are you going to do? Like the Speedway Houston Open?
Yeah, I'm with you. I've been calling it Shell for the last 48 hours anyway, so.
The Shell, though, very weak field. I'm sad because it's now a fall swing event. This field is one of the weakest on the PGA Tour. It's headlined by Stenson, who is not a, you know, really a regular on the PGA Tour, and certainly not in the, you know, the likes of the Koepkas or the DJs or the Rorys of this world. But he's headlining this event. The other headliner to the event is a guy named Russell Henley. Now, my biggest question off the top is that you are, I think, out of perhaps anyone, I think you're the biggest Russell Henley truther anywhere. Now, this is, I call this the Russ Henley Open because of his success here. What does he have, like 8 top 10s?
Like in a row, yeah. Plus he's won here. Plus he does well in the wind on Bermuda. It's just the perfect storm for him.
Okay, the most Ryan thing to do ever would be to be off him this week. I am completely in the tank for Russell Henley. Please support me here. Go.
Oh yeah, I mean he's completely overpriced. I'll say that. You know, I mean
I don't think so. You said one before the when you started recording. Who? Daniel Berger. Well, that's, same price.
Yeah, that's bad too. Yeah, I mean I would obviously pick Henley before.
They're fucking with you, no? At DraftKings, they are fucking with you, Ryan. You know that.
Yeah, but it's bad. I mean. But no, I think Russell Henley has done just enough in the last few weeks and months to show signs of life after being completely horrible for about a year and comes to his favorite place on tour. So, yeah, why not?
Someone asked me about Russell Henley and what I know about Henley is that he's like Fowler light, right? He's a decent ball striker. He can score in bunches, and he's a really good putter at times. But at the Russell Henley Shell Houston Open, he's been phenomenal putting. Huge greens, Bermuda, really fast. Remember his head to head with Kang in 2017?
Yeah.
When Henley gets it going, much like Fowler, all bets are off. He's lights out. Am I wrong that Henley's a really good putter?
He's a great putter, which is what made this last year so weird because yes. He was like outside the top 150 in putting. But yeah, I mean, Henley's, he's a historically pretty solid iron player and a really good putter. I think
he's Fowler light.
Yeah, here specifically at the Shell Houston Open. I think the two skills that you don't need as much are the off the tee and the around the green game, which is partially why he and Henrik Stenson have done very well here.
So the course from my notes are it's the defenses to it are it's if it's windy and it's firm, that is the only problem with the course. Otherwise, I mean, even with that, it's still going to be double digits, probably in the 20 unders. And that was in the, what, pre-Masters swing?
Yeah, this was always the event right before the Masters.
And now you're in the fall swing. Really wide fairways comparatively. I think even as wide as Summerlin or close to it. Large greens, PGA-wise, like 7,000 square feet. So really it comes down to, I mean, but the speed was always there. The speed and the wind were always there. I remember it was in 2017. It was Kang at 500-1 who we had, Henley, and of course, Luke List. More on that later. But it comes down to putting. But they firmed it up. They wanted the greens to be speedy enough because the guys left this event to go to where? Augusta, right? And so it helped these guys, Spieth in particular, prep for the Masters. That's changed now. It's kind of sad, though, that now you don't get the guys like Spieth at this event. And you wonder why there isn't a signature sponsor. It's still the Houston Open. I mean, it's in the fall swing. It's a field even weaker than the Safeway or the Shriners probably combined. It's kind of sad, right? What's happened to it?
I think part of it, yeah. I mean, number one, it now got banished into the fall swing, but part of it might be exactly what you said. I think for everyone, even other corporations and sponsors, like, they view this as the show Houston Open, and they feel like, you know, it might be a bit wasteful to try and rebrand it.
15 miles. This is Mike Miller's notes. Smart Golf Bets at Smart Golf Bets, smartgolfbets.com. 15 miles northeast of Houston. Reese Jones designed 2005 with David Toms. David Toms, he's the best. And Greg Muirhead. Don't know that guy. Par 72. Do you know Greg Muirhead?
I have no idea. Nope.
Well, screw Greg. Par 72, 7,400 yards, wide Bermuda fairways, very wide. Taller rough than in past years. Check the wind forecast. I've checked it, as wind can be a factor. Big and fast Bermuda greens. I always check my notes versus Mike's, and when we're locked in, I know I'm doing things right. Formerly quickened to mimic Augusta speed. Fuck, Mike, I'm so proud of you. We're exactly aligned. Lots of water in play, 10 holes, but a roomy, easy course if the wind doesn't get up. Greens and Reagan, par 4 scoring, often wind management. Now, the weather forecast this week is warm, stormy, windy. It's classic Houston weather. Humble, Texas, excuse me. What I did for my model, and I'll talk to you about your model next, Ryan, and thank you to Chris Durrell, the Erica Bombs, Tim Frank, Fantasy Golf Man, Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets. I emphasized, and this is stupid, I know, because as I've said in the opening and all along, you can never predict how or when a guy is going to gain strokes putting. You just can't. A lot of it's luck, a lot of it's good fortune, just running hot, like Na last week. No, Na's a good putter. But I did emphasize putting this week. And you look back in your notes and our library of history with players and who puts well on Bermuda. Who puts well on the Florida swing? Michael Thompson.
Russell Henley.
Russell Henley. Even Luke List, Ryan. Yeah. Even Luke List. But Florida swing is a good example of Bermuda putting, speedy, fast greens, Honda Classic, API. Putting, approach tee to green, birdies are better, scrambling. What do you like this week? Stats.
Yeah, pretty similar. I'm going to definitely weigh scrambling a little bit less just because of what you mentioned. You know, the fairways and greens are both pretty big and easy to hit. I just don't think that's going to be where I place my emphasis. But yeah, as usual for me, it's iron play. Kind of you want the most birdie opportunities, and then ultimately you've got to make those opportunities. So I'm still going with the recent iron play as my number one, and then we'll probably bump up putting a little bit.
The model TM. Well, no, I won't go to the model TM yet. Last week, these are really interesting because some of your guys here, and we're trying to get through this segment so you can get back to your Browns getting smoked by the 49ers. Welcome to football, Chief, in Ohio.
Embarrassing.
It doesn't matter, man. See, you've been trapped to think that the Browns will actually do well.
But I either want them to do well or do badly, and they're going to be like 8-8.
Bengals are 0-5. I'm at least comfortable with the fact they're going 0-16. Yeah. You've been actually rope-a-doped to the fact that the Browns can win the Super Bowl. Literally, people said that.
Yeah, I didn't go that far, but yeah, it's bad.
You did. Approach last week. Every one. Henley, 2, Ryan. Stanley, Redman. Oh, I love Doc Redman. And Taylor. Not Vaughn. Not Nick. Ben.
Whoa.
How does that... How does that hit
That's
you?
That's one of my guys.
Matt Every. Ben Taylor is your guy. All right. T to Green. Every. What? Zhang. Still on him. Lonto. Your guy. My guy. Luke List. Hello. And I can't remember writing. It says stellar. What the fuck is that word? Stellar. Oh, Scheffler. Excuse me. Scheffler. Putting last week. Ventura. McCarthy. Brian Gay. McNeely. Perez. I added a sixth because it'll throw a wrench in everything. Bronson Berggruen. Oh.
Ooh.
Bronson Berggruen.
You got some names there, man.
What's your model? What's your model this week?
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, there's definitely some overlap, you know, again, just kind of looking at the recent Iron play. I think
those are my picks. Those are my picks. I'm just saying that those are the but Ben Taylor in your wheelhouse, yep. Ryan.
He hits a lot of greens. I can definitely get behind that. Yeah, you know, I have many concerns about Luke List. Kind of just looking at what he did last week, he gained what, 5+ around the green and like 3 strokes game putting. That's definitely not sustainable. But the guys that you mentioned that I do like a lot, at the top, Henley. I'm back on Zhang again.
Yes.
Robbie Shelton continues to hit the ball really, really well and just can't chip and putt. And then Doc Redman. I think those are probably going to be the long shots that I go at. I don't want to get too involved. I don't think Stenson's going to win, and I certainly don't think he's going to win 9-1. So I'm happy to pass up on all that and start 28-1 Russell Henley.
All right, here's my model, TM. Again, heavy emphasis on putters. Birdies are better scramblers. Number one in my model, this may be the first and last time this ever happens. Number one, Lonto Griffin. Oh, this is a very strange output, by the way. Lonto, Hubbard, Robbie Shelton, Scotty Scheffler, Ryder.
Jesus.
Top five. All right. Wait for the next five. You'll like them. Perez, Higgs, your guy. McCarthy, Matt Jones, your guy. Scheffler again. That makes no sense. Okay. The first one was Suture. Sorry, not Scheffler. I can't remember. Lanto, Hubbard, Shelton, Suture, Ryder. Perez, Higgs, McCarthy, Matt Jones, your guy. Scheffler.
It's gross.
That's gross. But this field, that's the field.
Yeah. I think this is going to be one of those weeks too that like you just have to suck it up and play some course history. Like you mentioned Matt Jones. I mean, he had a great week and then a withdrawal and then a pretty good week again, but the stats are all over the place. But again, you know, he's a guy, he lives in Texas. He's won this event at this course before. And, you know, I think those are the kind of plays that you're going to have to make, even though it feels very, very bad. You had tweeted something earlier and then you haven't mentioned him yet. Chapel?
Well, here's my value plays. I'm glad you mentioned that, Ryan. Good segue. Value plays on DraftKings, I've got 5. Chapel, Kevin Chapel, our guy, GOAT.
Yes.
Shot what? A 50 at the Greenbrier?
Yeah, just about.
Chapel has still been priced by DraftKings under 8,000 at 7.9. Now, in this field, regularly, Chapel, I mean, he can dominate. I like Chapel at 7.9. Another one, Hubbard, a name popping up, much like Shelton, much like what Lashley last year, just popping in the models, 7.1. Okay. Suture, which I think is the deal of the week at 6,600.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's played well for a year. The other two, if you believe they're going to finish in the top five, top 10, or win. Lonto and Ryder are both 8,000. Both are really, really, really good putters. And Lonto has been trending up. I'm not a huge fan of Lonto. I'm a huge fan of Ryder. but both 8,000. Those are the value picks this week.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think Lonto's going to be very interesting because we know that he's, you know, far exceeding his baseline. But then again, you know, he went back to the web.com, excuse me, Korn Ferry Tour last year, and he won at least once, but I think twice. So perhaps he's a different player now. But I think you mentioned Lonto, Ryder. I think these are all guys who are going to be as popular as they're ever going to be and priced as highly as they're ever going to be. So that's when I kind of create my own pivot to just go to the guys who I know who are better, like Kevin Chappell, like Brendan Steele at 7,400, who I think like those sorts of players might go a drop overlooked instead of paying full price for Zhang and Lonto and Ryder and Harris English.
Here's the funny thing. Ryder, Lonto are 50 to 1. Steele, Redmond, Chappell are 80 to 1. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think of all those guys in the sevens, you know, I feel like Redmond is probably the one that I'm going to play most, followed by Robbie Shelton.
Thank you for buying into Redmond finally.
Yeah, I think the thing about Redmond is he's just so errant.
Amazing.
But his irons were better last week, so, you know, I'm going to buy into the recent iron players.
All right, what are your picks for the PGAtour.com?
I think I'm staying with it. Henley, Shelton, Redmond. One of those three gets it done.
All right, here's me. I've got six. You ready? Henley. That's Henley. Good. Redmond. Ryder. Lonto. Bo Hostler. Zhang. Luke List. If I had three, Henley, Hostler, List. Hostler is a Texas guy, right? Last week, what? Top five in nothing. But he was second last year. He's a really good putter. I just feel like 1 week he's going to burn us all, and I believe it could be this week. List.
Of course.
List, outside of Finau, to me, is a guy that if List wins, and we're not on him, Ryan, we're dead. We're done.
Yep.
We are fully in NHL DK now. We are Pucklandia. I think this is the week, Ryan. We cannot get off List.
I don't know. The stats were very concerning last week.
I'll convince you. Let's go to the Italian Open. And the field is rocking. Casey, Rose, Molinari, Lowry, Fitz, your guy Wallace. I've got five. And I'm going to scratch off the top Casey, Rose, Molinari just because I like Living Dangerously.
All right.
But my guy, Bob McIntyre's in this field. I'm still not convinced or sure what he does well. He drives it pretty far. He putts it extremely well. And he's got an attitude. Plus, he's a lefty. Bob, Schwab, Hatton, three. Those are my three. Bob McIntyre, Matthias Schwab, Tyrrell Hatton. Long course. Let me go to the course notes first so people know what we're talking about. West course, Largo Alghiata, Italy, 40 minutes drive from north from Roma. This is Mike Miller's notes again. He's so accurate. He called it Roma. I mean, most humans would say Rome. He said Roma. CK Cotton original 1961. Jim Fazio complete redesign 2010. Par 71, 7,500 yards. That's pretty long, Ryan. Long, roomy, tree-lined, mildly undulating parklands, water on five holes, large, fast. Greens with modest bunker protection, rough creeks, trees mandate keeping it on the short grass. Key stat, greens in reg. Course suits quality mid to long iron players. Nothing changes my life.
There you go.
Bob Schwab Hatton.
No, this is your typical Italian Open course. Kind of much like the Spanish Open. It's it's on a course rotation, but it's the same mold, right? It's parkland, narrow tree lines. I don't trust the yardages per se on the European Tour site. Plus these courses all kind of always play firm and play shorter than the yardage. And, you know, that's why you see the same names and the same mold pop every year. So, it's going to be iron players. It's going to be plotters. Pretty straightforward here.
Bob Schwab Hatton, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Matt Wallace. Now, A lot of people used to harp on you because of your Matt Fitzpatrick obsession. I have grown to really, really, really like Matt Fitzpatrick because he is a winner. He's a winner. He's aggressive.
That's right.
He knows he likes to just attack a course. I mean, he could listen. The two out of bounds from the fairway at Wentworth, yeah, it's not a great look, but he likes to attack a course, and he has got wins under his belt. I love Matt Fitzpatrick. I really do. To me, it's Fitz, Wallace, Hatton, Schwab, Bob. What say you?
Yeah, pretty close. I think that whole range, like around where Fitz is, I'll even throw Wallace in there, but Fitz, Wallace, Hatton, Pavon, I think those four definitely stand out for me. I'm also on Bob. I'm going to swap Schwab for Jordan Smith. He's another one of my favorites, kind of gets the rap as being a bomber and being a little bit errant, which he is, but following what he's been doing over the last couple of months, it's been all iron play, and he did it again at the Dunhill Links where the irons are trending up, and I think he's a pretty good price this week. So, but a lot of overlap with you otherwise.
Other than Miliozzi, let's do the Ryan deep down the list. Who are you looking at? Deep look. Last week, what was it, Delval that we both had? Finished second.
And he was like top. Yeah, he was right there.
We are completely on it. I know exactly who you're thinking about this week, right?
Of course, we all do.
All right. No. I mean, he's not a known brand, right? You there?
Yeah.
Is he Italian?
Of course he is.
Is it Francesco Laporta?
Of course it is.
Yes! Yes!
But I will say, for DraftKings purposes, the only reason that I've even looked there is because they haven't added Lorenzo Gagli to the field yet, even though he's in.
Ryan, Laporta is like Liam Johnston level. It is way down there.
We used to be doing that with Sebastian Soderberg, and look where we are now. And with Victor Perez, look where we are now.
It's Laporta week.
Yep.
I get this every week. I just know it.
So good. But I do think this week, even though the field is not, you know, it's strong at the top, but there's a lot of really good players who are underpriced this week. You know, just looking like into the 7K range on DraftKings, you have Keimer and Dietrich, Pepperell, Perez, Harding, Westwood, Waring, Bjork, Guido, you mentioned. All those guys are in the 7K. So basically, like, you pick three or four of them and you can basically pick anyone else at the top that you want. So that's probably the direction I'll be going this week.
You know who my next guest was going to be?
Who's that?
Enrico Donito.
Who the hell is that?
Enrico Donito?
Not sure.
Another Italian, top form. I don't know what tour, but I knew that would be your next choice.
I guess a lot of these guys play on the... Well, when we're back in Sweden, we'll be on Dantor. But I assume a lot of these guys are playing the Alps Tour, but can't confirm that.
Francesco Laporta, top 10 this week.
Ryan, yeah, get him in some top 10, top 20 cross doubles this week.
All right, who one and one? Let me get our one and one here.
All right, Russell Henley.
Yep. And
Mikko Korhonen.
You're nuts.
Off the wall.
That's crazy. All right. I'd like to say list. I'll say Henley too.
I'm also taking the San Francisco 49ers. Minus the points.
Minus what, 30 points?
I said 30 and a half a few minutes ago, so yes, that sounds about right.
I'll do Bob McIntyre.
All right.
Luke List.
You're going to be burned by Luke List again. You know it,
worst.
Too.
It's just the worst. All right, man, thank you. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your Browns. I'm sorry. All right, I actually feel good about this week in close. The Houston Open, Shell Houston Open. The Russ Henley Shell Houston Open. I really think that I said it on Twitter just now. It's Luke List week. I just have a sixth sense about it. I don't get this very often, but my brain's on fire about Luke List. Hostler, Henley. Those would be my three. Overseas, Bob, obviously. Schwab, obviously. Tyrrell Hatton. Fitz, Wallace. But Henley, List, Hostler, Bob, Schwab, Hatton. There you go. There's nine. That'll pay 300-1. You place those nine bets, that pays like 300-1. I don't know. I just made that up. But it's close. It's close. I had a fun podcast. Enjoyed it. I'll be starting one on Wednesday called Pucklandia with my friends that established the forecheck that I beat on the reg. Until number 116. A lot of table hitting this week. Talk to you then.